One of the great things about the Christmas season is it's a time that brings our families together. And it's one of those rare occasions where schools and businesses are closed. You know, kids get a short break from sports and families have an opportunity to come together, which is, you know, often a great opportunity to have a good time with family members and to reconnect with family members that might live out of town or that we haven't seen for a while. But at the same time, maybe not in any of our families, sometimes that brings a little bit of stress with it. You know, spending time with family members, you know, sometimes it brings in issues from the past when we deal with our family members, you know, lack of forgiveness of things that have happened, or you know, sometimes it's a challenge when family members are making choices in their lives that we feel are destructive, whether it's, you know, divorce or drug addictions or things like that. And for some people, it is a lonely time. You know, with they might be separated from their families, or you know, even within their families, they might just have trouble connecting with their family members. You know, but it is interesting that that right in the middle of the Christmas feast day, we celebrate the feast of the Holy Family. You know, the family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And I think we can gain some guidance and some wisdom and support from today's feast day and the readings as we reflect upon them today. And I think that the first thing for us to recognize is that a holy family is not a family that has no trials or struggles. You know, that family doesn't exist. You might be able to find it in 1950s TV shows, but you're not going to find it in the real world. And even the holy family, as we read in today's gospel, had their own share of struggles and trials. And so, you know, we shouldn't get discouraged when our own families face difficulties. You know, but at the same time, you know, Christian family, you know, if they're truly embracing Christianity and trying to live out their faith well within their family, there's going to be something different about a Christian family. Because there's going to be a power that's at work within that family, in the hearts and the minds of its members. And it's a power that has the strength to transform and to purify and to heal our families. And to truly flourish, a family, above all things, needs to be holy. You know, not that the family is going to be perfect, not that there's not going to be tension or difficulties, but a family needs to be holy in order to thrive. If we look at today's gospel, and if we look at the example of Jesus, you know, he stays behind as his family's leaving Jerusalem after celebrating the feast day of Pentecost. And he stays in the temple without telling his parents. And understandably, his parents, when they discover he's missing, they are distressed, you know, as any parent would be. And if you can imagine going 3 days searching for your child, you know, before you finally find your child, you know, what would our parents say to their child in a situation like that? You know, maybe a variety of things. But, you know, as they come across the Christ child and they finally find him, you know, he doesn't apologize. He says, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Or another translation from the Greek, just as valid, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" That's his response to his parents as they're searching diligently for him. But what our Lord understood, and what he was perhaps trying to teach his parents at that moment, is that he had a mission that he was dedicated to that went beyond his immediate family. He had a higher purpose. And it says that Mary and Joseph didn't fully understand those words, but the Blessed Virgin took those words to heart, and she reflected on what her son was saying, so that by meditating upon those words, she might learn from the example of her son. So that years later, you know, as our Lord began his public ministry, she understood that he had a mission and that she needed to be supportive of that mission of her son. And ultimately, there would again be another time where they would be separated for 3 days before they would be reunited as our Lord went to the cross. So what can we learn from this about the secret of a holy family? Well, the most important thing about a holy family is a holy family is not concerned primarily with itself. Now, a holy family is going to be dedicated to a purpose and a mission that goes beyond the family. And the members of a family are going to support each other in that mission, and even to make the sacrifices that are necessary for the members of the family to grow in holiness and to embrace their vocation. You know, every single person has a calling from God, a vocation in their lives. You know, they have a purpose. And it's the responsibility of a family to be an environment that supports that and nurtures that vocation. And just like individuals are not going to flourish if they're narcissistic, individuals flourish when they are self-sacrificing and dedicated to a purpose beyond themselves. And so too with our families. If our families are just focused on themselves, they're not going to flourish. But if they're focused on a higher purpose, you know, as our Lord was, they're going to flourish. So what are some of the common elements that are important to be in place within our families? Well, the first thing is to recognize that our families are ultimately constructed by God. You know, sometimes we might wonder, why is this person a member of my family? Why are they here? You know, but our Lord has a purpose, and he puts each one of our families together in the lives and the people that are in our families. There's a reason and a design for that. And so the first thing is to recognize that God is the author of our families. And the second thing is the virtue of obedience. You know, we see that with the Holy Family, and not just children being obedient to their parents, which is important. Children, be obedient to your parents. That's one of the commandments. But also for parents to be obedient. You know, we hear Mary and Joseph, you know, not only would they have practiced the Sabbath observance, going to the synagogue each Saturday, but they also abided by the feast days. It says that they traveled all the way to Jerusalem. And that would have been on foot in a caravan. Faithful Jews were required to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year for various religious celebrations, one of those being the Passover. And so Mary and Joseph, even though it would have been difficult and a tremendous sacrifice, they followed the laws. You know, they exemplified that virtue of obedience. And so that's a good example for our families to be obedient with the observance of Sunday Mass, with being open to life. You know, husband and wife, when they take the marriage vows, part of that is being open to the gift of life and doing nothing artificial to prevent the conception of children. And that generosity that parents exemplify is an important example and a foundation for generosity and charity within the family. So next thing that's important is that our families center themselves on the worship of God and a life of prayer. Because our family members and ourselves, we're not going to know what our vocation is unless we're listening. And so it's important that there's an environment in our families that foster the worship of God as being absolutely central and the most important thing. That there are not other things that are interfering. And that the life of prayer, to ensure that there's authentic prayer going on within our families, because it's within prayer that we learn to listen to the voice of God and to respond. And I think that the final element that's important for our families is detachment from our own wills. You know, sometimes we have our own plans for what we think our children should be. You know, we want our children to be a doctor or a lawyer and have a successful career. But the more important question is, what is God's plan for the members of our family? Mary didn't interfere with her son's ministry. She didn't say to Jesus, you're not going to go to the cross. You're going to stay home and you're going to be a carpenter and earn a good living and you're going to be safe there. She didn't interfere. She supported her son in his mission, even when it meant a tremendous sacrifice. And that's a great example for our families as well, to support our family members in following the calling that God has for each one of us. And so as we celebrate this feast day of the Holy Family, the question I'd throw out for us to reflect upon is whether our family is living for a purpose greater than itself. Or have we fallen to lower things? You know, are we seeking after our own happiness? In which case, there's things that need to be purified. But are our families dedicated to God's will? Are they environments where we learn obedience to God's laws, where prayer and worship of God is absolutely central, and where we're truly seeking to obey the will of God and to be his disciples within the world? And ultimately, our families exist to be holy. And if we seek holiness, it's going to help to purify our families of the trials, difficulties, and dysfunction that's there. And ultimately, our families will flourish and they will thrive if we seek holiness first.